Welcome to hour two of today's This Present Truth program. Again, this is June 30th, 2026, final day of June, Tuesday, hour two. This hour we're going to discuss Donald Trump, Benjamin Netanyahu, Vladimir Putin. Unmatched greatness. These men, in their own right, in their own positions, are the greatest men to lead their countries. I suppose you want me to explain myself? Before I do, programs are archived on thispresenttruth.com. I'm your host, Rick Rodriguez. You can contact me, Rick Rodriguez, P.O. Box 872, Longmont, Colorado, 80502. P.O. Box 872, Longmont, Colorado, 80502. Donald Trump, Benjamin Netanyahu, Vladimir Putin. These are, I believe, the greatest men that have ruled their nations in the history of Russia and in the modern history of Israel beginning in 1948 and in the United States of America. Donald Trump ranks at the peak, at the top, the pinnacle of the greatest president ever in American history. He continues to prove it daily. These men are leaders of countries that are in the Bible, that are in the Holy Word of God. Let me begin with Benjamin Netanyahu, because all three presently are basically like a target sitting on a wall, and everything that can be thrown at them is being thrown at them. But let me begin with Benjamin Netanyahu. Israel becomes a nation, 1948. There has been constant conflict. Ben-Gurion, Moshe Dayan, he wasn't ever the prime minister. But from the time Israel became a nation, if I remember correctly, you can go to Wikipedia, and if you will look, there are presently Benjamin Netanyahu is presently the prime minister of, I think he's had three times as prime minister. I believe Israel presently has had 14 men to serve in these different administrations. I believe there are 14 different individuals. Some people might think there were 15 because one of the administrations was covered by two individuals, and eventually one was dismissed. So really, I think there were only 14 administrations or 14 individuals to cover all these administrations. Benjamin Netanyahu has been involved in politics for 30 years. He has done phenomenal things for the nation of Israel. Many do not agree within the nation of Israel that he is great. Many in the political world in Israel, the Likud, the Knesset, they would disagree. But I would say that coming from the point of biblical prophecy, Israel, from the time she became a nation, would be in conflict, and the greatest conflict really has been from the turn of the century to the present. If I remember the story correctly, Benjamin Netanyahu, in the first time as prime minister, he gave land, the land of Gaza, to the Palestinians. Not Palestinians, I won't say that. To the Arabs living in the strip. They aren't Palestinians. We need to be accurate. They are Arabs. They come from surrounding countries, from Egypt, from Jordan, even from surrounding areas, Yemen, Lebanon, Syria. They're Arab. They're not Palestinian. There was a black pastor that came out of Africa, the way I remember the story, after Benjamin Netanyahu was removed from his first term, and told Benjamin Netanyahu, this was a Christian man, he said that God will put him in once again as prime minister. The God of Israel will allow him, and he will once again become prime minister. But he is never to give land away again. If he gives land away, he will be removed. Well, in the meantime, he was in, he was out, now he's in once again. He was trained sovereignly, I think, by the hand of God. And through his background, he is an Ashkenazi Jew. He is not the other sect is called Khazarian. And many believe that because he's Ashkenazi, he actually is not Jewish. He is 100% Jewish. The Ashkenazi Jews were from the 12 tribes of Israel, the lineage of Israel. The Khazarians are not. There may be a few stragglers, but mostly no. He was and has been the prime minister who was willing to respond to the Gaza attacks in 2023. October 7th, he responded, and he hasn't looked back. This is the beginning of a fulfillment in Psalm 83, a regional war. The war began, was triggered by the Hamas terrorists, and the conflict continues to this very day. It's heated up in Lebanon. He is dealing with Hezbollah. He has dealt mostly with Hamas. Hamas is not completely, has not been completely eradicated. You cannot take hatred out of the hearts of people. And the children in Gaza and in that area that are Islamic have been radicalized. It's just a fact. It is a well-known fact. They've been radicalized from birth. The hatred of Israel, the hatred of the Jewish people, is a type of hatred that only God can help and only God can cure. But that hatred will continue until Israel, according to Psalm 83, in the regional war, finishes the conflict. Gaza will be restored to Israel as real estate. The world is still going mad about it, still upset. It's driving people mad, not only in the region, to the north, to the Middle East, but worldwide. Israel will remove Hezbollah, for the most part, out of Lebanon. America will not stop it. The nations in the Middle East will not stop it. The UN will not stop it. And the man that is going to finish the operation of cleaning up the terrorism in the region, to the west, Lebanon, to the north, part of Syria, southern Syria, and the nation of Jordan, Benjamin Netanyahu is going to complete the job according to the prophecy in Psalm 83. So this is why Benjamin Netanyahu will eventually be recognized as being the greatest prime minister in present Israeli history. I know this is difficult, but I am coming to you and presenting this to you from a biblical perspective. Israel would have wars that she would fight. There would be wars where she will need assistance. She is getting the assistance she needs from the United States. She will need more assistance from the United States against another conflict much greater than what they're witnessing right now in close into Israel's borders. I'm excluding Iran presently for just a little bit. I'll bring it into the equation. But Benjamin Netanyahu, he is unmatched in his greatness. The many in the Jewish society don't appreciate what he's doing. Those in the region may not state it openly that they do appreciate what Netanyahu is doing with these terrorist groups in surrounding Israel. He will also have to deal with the adversary within the West Bank in that area. He's not done with the conflict. He will be his time as prime minister, once the Psalm 83 war is complete, it'll be about that time that there will be a political change, I believe, in the nation of Israel. I think, personally, from little things I see here and there in the scriptures, in the book of Daniel, other places, that what is going to happen to the political system in Israel, they're going to move away from a prime minister, if I'm correct, and they will go to more of a council. And I don't know how many people on that council, but Benjamin Netanyahu, another great thing he has done for Israel, is he has taken a stance against the Zionists, the occult Zionism of the Rothschilds, the Rockefellers, and the people of the and the occult families of the West. He can't talk about it. He has taken a position to try to distance Israel from the global agenda of a new world order, which was being basically carried by the United States. That objective has been pushed and furthered and advanced economically by the United States and families in Europe. And he, Benjamin Netanyahu, cannot come right out and say that he's, in a sense, is in conflict with the chapters, the two secret society chapters, Pilgrim Society, based in the city of London and New York City. He knows about it. He understands it clearly. He cannot discuss it. It is very dangerous for him to discuss it. He realizes it with the war in Iran. He did take action as needed from some of the attacks of Iran and the Revolutionary Guard. And he does realize that it was the British who have funded and have been involved in very deeply in the affairs of the countries in the Middle East. He is aware of it. He understands it. Because of that, and he appreciates more than you could even imagine what Donald Trump has done, is doing, and what America will continue to do. I stated years ago, and many that listened to my programs on a station in northern Colorado, they knew my view that the American people, patriot, non-patriot, Republican, Democrat, no matter what, they can protest. America's helping, funding, supplying Israel in these conflicts. There's nothing they can do, whether it comes through the backing of the Christian people, non-Christian people. In the Bible, God has commanded that this great country, America, which is in Revelation 17 and 18, will help Israel no matter what the protests may be, what the temperature of the political climate will be. It won't matter. This country will help Israel. There are forces in this country, occult Zionism. There are two Zionisms. There's a pure, holy Zionism, whether you'll accept it or not, and there is occult Zionism. It's entrenched in Europe. It's entrenched in the United States of America. And it doesn't have to be Republican, conservative Christians. It is in the Democratic Party. It is in the hard left party. It is in the Congress. It is in the Senate. It is in the House of Representatives. It is in the military. It is in the Pentagon. It is in all of the military-industrial complex. This group of these people are, to some degree, Aryan Nazis, and they will make sure that Israel is not gathered under the wing of the Arab nations, especially Iran. So the American people can scream, protest, it doesn't matter. It's not just the Christian people that are assisting Israel. So that, I'm going to break the power of that lie. That is a myth. It's not just the Christian people. Yes, they're the ones in the open, and they're the ones catching the flack. But behind the scenes, there is a great part of this government that is Nazi. They came over after World War II. They're scattered all over South America. Still the Nazi Aryan religious system, a belief system of supremacy. It's in England. It's in the nations of Europe. It's in Norway, Sweden, Finland, France. Should I go on? Germany still. They will protect Israel. They may not want to, but they must. Because the Zionism that they are protecting is the occult Zionism that will eventually occupy, there will be forces that will occupy Israel, and they will set up a new world system, a new world order, which will be centered in Jerusalem. So people have a view of the world. It's like looking at the moon. The moon is always there, but sometimes you only see a quarter or a third of a moon or a half moon. But the moon is there, and the people are looking at the world and believe that they're seeing the whole picture, and they're seeing a quarter or a third or half or three quarters of the moon. They're not seeing the whole picture. And those that are protesting against Zionism, I sense they don't understand what the whole plan and program is, what it has been, who is behind it. Yes, the British, they wanted Israel to be a nation. They were in big debt, and they needed finances. So they brought in a way in which the Jewish people could be once again relocated in the Middle East. Now, I'm going to go on to Benjamin Netanyahu. He is not only up against forces in the Middle East trying to bomb Israel into, to the landfill of history, but they want to destroy every Jewish person at the same time. They want ethnic cleansing. And Netanyahu is up against the forces in the Middle East, directly, kind of indirectly, against the secret society, the pilgrims in Europe, in the city of London, and in New York City, against Nazi forces in the region, outside of the region to the north, in the Ukraine, in America. So he has his work cut out for him. The only reason he has accomplished what he has accomplished is because he's in the Bible. He is the prime minister of Israel. He is the king of Israel. He is the king that has been placed by God to defend the children of Israel, the Jewish people, and the land of Israel. They are going to get the Gaza 100% will become Israeli territory. Lebanon will be cleansed of the terrorist group. Eventually, Israel is going to have to take out forces coming out of Jordan. I believe more in the southern portion of the nation of Jordan. And Israel is going to have conflict across border with the nation of Jordan. And there will be conflict coming out of Damascus. And Israel will respond. And the territory of Jordan, every acre, will become Israeli property. Damascus and all of the occult center, not only a military center, not only a center of intelligence, like CIA, MI6 intelligence, and intelligence coming out of the Middle East, will be completely wiped off the map. When this is finished, Benjamin Netanyahu, it will be at that point where he may be ready to gently or willingly hand over the reins, and that will be exactly according to the will of God, to the new, like I said, a new political system in the nation of Israel. Because I talk repeatedly about Donald Trump, which is important because one of these days, what I have presented to my listeners is going to end. Donald Trump will also hand the reins over to the new administration. Unwillingly, they will be ripped. His presidency is going to be ripped out of his hands. He's going to be overthrown. But I've spoken quite a bit about Trump. Let me talk about Putin. Now, Vladimir Putin is in a great land called the land of Gog Magog, Ezekiel chapter 39. This is a great ancient land of Noah's son, Japheth, who had children, Meshech, and the families, white families, the light-skinned families, that would come from the north. Putin is the president, has been the president of this great country. People may not see it as great. It has always been a threat to American freedom, and it had to be, because without Russia being there, America would, for the most part, own the world by this time. God could not allow that. So God was, his hand was involved with what would happen with the United States and Russia. Russia was against the ruling families of Europe. This is why Russia assisted the United States during the Civil War, because should the United States have lost that war, Russia would never have had a chance to exist, because upon the defeat of the forces in the north in the United States, England would have expanded by another, adding another continent. It wouldn't be just ruling by drug trade in China, India, etc., Africa, but now the United States. Well, Russia, God used Russia to make sure that the British, the lords of Europe, were basically, there was a barbed wire fence to keep them out. And this is why Russia eventually would give, for pennies, Alaska to Seward. And this was no folly. This was a plan, because Russia, by giving that land to the United States, we would be in debt, indebted to Russia. But Vladimir Putin, with the Reagan administration destroying the economy through a man by the name of Leo Wanta, the ruble basically became worthless. Leo Wanta became a trillionaire, but he never did see any of that money because it was abducted, held up, seized by the Bushes and the Clintons. It went into their bank accounts. Then you had, going back, the Bolshevik Revolution. That was payment for Russia helping the United States during the Civil War. The Bolshevik Revolution, Lenin came out of, trained in London, in England, was sent over to Russia to overthrow the country. It was successful. That was a British plot. That was a British plan. And it worked. Communism, the government, the almighty government that was God to the Russian people. But eventually in 1976-77, some American youth, Christian people, went over to Eastern Europe with music and praise to Christ and started a revolution. Just like you might say, the baby boom generation, Jesus people of America, in 1976, when God lifted his spirit off of the baby boom Jesus movement in this country, it relocated in Eastern Europe, and eventually all of Eastern Europe, and eventually into Russia. And yeah, you can say that the wall in Berlin came down. Well, what happened really, the wall of hatred toward God is what needed to come down, which took place from starting from about 76, 77 on into the future years. And Russia once again began to change in every way. And still you had the old rulers of the land who didn't quite understand what was happening. And they it's kind of like ice melting in the summer. It just takes a little time, a few days, a month, half a year, you know, 3-4 months to eventually melt the ice warmed the ground, and you have spring. Well, it took probably till late 1999. There was already a movement in the hearts of the Russian people. But and there was a young man in the Berlin before the wall came down, Vladimir Putin, a friend of Merkel, Angela Merkel, Adolf Hitler's daughter. He knew everything that happened with Hitler. He knew Hitler did not die. He had all the Russian intelligence after World War II. He had access to it. He was a man that was not driven, but he was a man really who was purposeful in everything that he studied, everything that he did, everything that was important, because already he had his eyes on rebuilding the nation that he loved, that God actually called him to. And you can see by looking at his life, you can see the hand of God Almighty on the steps that were taken. He was Russian to the core, but at the same time, the Jesus movement of Russia did change him, and he recognized, and he still recognizes, the great value of the people who are religious, who have a God to worship that is genuine, that is real, that is not distant, that is near. He understands that. He may be in his own way. He may be very tender to Christ. He is fulfilling a purpose that Christ had for him that he may not know about. 1999, Boris Yeltsin, he's an alcoholic. He'd made deals with Clinton in 1992. The deal was that he would sell Russia, basically, all the wealth of Russia to investors from the West, out of Wall Street, companies, industries. In return, a promise from Clinton was that Ukraine would never be a member of NATO. 1998, like Bill Jefferson Rockefeller Clinton always does, he reneges, he makes a change, he decides to, you know, no credibility. He decides to maybe, possibly allow and work toward bringing Ukraine into NATO. This was really reprehensible to Boris Yeltsin. I think it ate heavy on his conscience, laid heavy on his conscience. Eventually, the last day of the last century, December 31st, 1999, Yeltsin stepped down as president of Russia. Vladimir Putin was the president. On the first day of this century, Putin was in. He was in for, 5 years, one term. Then Medvedev took over the second time, second presidency. But after that, Putin once again won the next election. He's been in power for the last 20 plus years after that final election. So what he has done is he has taken Russia from really bankruptcy to becoming very powerful, powerful. He's an economic power. Russia's an economic power. Our administration has seized much of the wealth that's abroad from Russia. The EU, not America, the EU has that wealth seized. But still, Putin has taken Russia and has made Russia very profitable. He has taken the Russian people. They have become more prosperous than they've ever been. He has been working with nations diplomatically. He is the one who took a concept by a British economist. The third world nations working together can break the back of America's stranglehold, the Rockefeller stranglehold on the nations, to the World Bank, the International Monetary Fund, these organizations, and gave these nations hope and put together a group which we know and refer to as the BRICS countries, Brazil, Russia, India, South Africa, China. And he has now added and expanded the membership. Then, more importantly, he also was very aware of the Pilgrim Society, England and New York. They have been the society that has tried to destroy Russia going back over 125 years. They have attempted repeatedly. They still haven't been successful. They won't be successful. But God has a plan for Russia because of the sins of the Russian people going back not just in Putin's time, but going back a thousand years plus. Anti-Semitism, the hatred of the Jewish people. They needed the Jewish people, but they hated the Jewish people. They allowed the Jewish people to live in Russia to help Russia in all ways economically with the arts, music, etc. But still, there was disdain for the Jewish people, and the Jewish people did suffer. Menachem Begin was in the gulags in Russia as a young man. Ended up in Siberia cutting trees down. But he lived to return to Israel. So he knew, Begin knew. So with the election of Obama and Janet Newland, there was the plans that Russia knew about through intelligence that there was more consideration about assisting Ukraine to become part of the NATO countries. Once Ukraine would become part of a NATO countries, then should Russia do anything to militarily in Ukraine, all of the other nations would be forced by their laws to intervene and to assist Ukraine in a battle against Russia, which had fit perfectly into the Pilgrim plan of destroying Russia at all costs, regardless of the carnage, the people that would die, regardless of cities that would be destroyed. Russia had to be destroyed. Well, it really escalated during the time of the Obama administration. By the time Trump came in, it de-escalated, you might say. It basically, the plan for Ukraine being accepted into the NATO network basically was, you might say, the temperature just began to drop. And Putin, it gave Putin time to build his industry, continued negotiations with other countries, working toward a new system of international banking. And Putin was at all times part of the Klaus Schwab, network of international banking. Russia was involved in that, was going to be included. But what would happen is as the illegitimate president came into power, Joe Biden, once again, the system behind the scenes that was giving Biden direction and you might say using him as a shield up ahead to catch the flak while they pushed in the direction they wanted to go, Putin realized that it was going to be a Ukraine as a NATO member, and Putin waited wisely until the Beijing Olympics 2022 in February, where he would meet with Xi Jinping. And he met with Xi Jinping, I think it was on the 3rd or 4th of February. And they agreed, the two countries made an agreement, a partnership. And the partnership, I'm going to encapsulate it. We now together, with our industry, our military, with our intelligence, with our technology, we have the way to become the nations who will dictate the new strategies in diplomacy internationally. And we might as well declare that we are at war with the United States of America and the West, which they did. In that partnership, it was an agreement, and it was the beginning of internationally, the countries, the leaders of the countries, when they found out about that agreement, that partnership, they realized this was a declaration of war against not just the United States, but the British Pilgrim Society out of New York and England. More and more, as you look at the news and you look through what is out there, there's more and more talk about this secret society that's been existed since 1902. More and more people are reading and understanding and talking about the society. And it was specifically put together to control media, which they do control in this country and in Europe and abroad, to actually take U.S. military and in conjunction with the English sister to actually use the U.S. military for the drug trade, slave trade, illegal harvesting organs, the bad things. Revelation chapter 18, the final two items, slaves and souls of men, gold, silver, precious stone, wood, ointments, clothing, dyes, everything related to building, to luxury. And then eventually on down the line toward the bottom, you'd have horses, people, and souls of men. Right now in Venezuela, all these countries, all these NGO groups, they know that when there is a catastrophe, tsunami, earthquakes, that is their cue to, as fast as they can, to not send aid to the area, but to go in to assist with the need for those that have been injured. And what they do is they move in like hyenas to a carcass, and they target children. This is their strategy. It's always been their strategy. And the tens of thousands of children disappear, 10,000 in 2-3 days, the ones that don't actually die. Now, I don't want to get off. So Putin had to make a decision. They made it a partnership with Xi Jinping, China. The two nations declared war on the United States. And they have been successful. They have been successful to a great degree. Donald Trump is aware of it. And he is trying to work with Russia and China so that these two nations will not continue in that agreement that they can work things out. Trump is presently trying to work things out so that these two countries, China and Russia, do not have to, you might say, push too hard. So Putin, after he signs the partnership about the 22nd, 20 days later, roughly 20, 22 days later, he knows he cannot allow NATO to open the arms to Ukraine. So he moves in. When he moved in, Klaus Schwab immediately kicked him out of the, I'm forgetting the term, kicked him out of the group that Schwab has been working with since the 70s, the financial, the way they set up the finances to bring all the world under one economic system, World Economic Forum. I knew it would eventually catch me. So with the World Economic Forum, Schwab called Putin, said, "You are out. You are no longer invited. We're unfriending you." And Putin said, "No problem. I've already set up another alternate system. And the system is working. We're working on it. We're getting the bugs out. But it's going to be a system that the third world countries, second world countries, all the developing countries will be able to use their own currencies. They'll be able to trade with metals. We will have diplomatic ties with them. We will trade with them. They will trade with us. We will basically open shop for each other. And we are going to do less business with empire. We'll just keep you out of the loop. There's no sense in us trying to continue working with a country that has just one objective, total world hegemony. It's not going to happen." This is what Vladimir Putin did. This is what he has accomplished. He has freed Russia from America's grip. And they will stay free for a while longer. Now, the other thing with Vladimir Putin, he's attempting, every attempt is to keep Russia uninvolved in conflict. Well, the Ukraine conflict, there are a lot of press is saying that Russia is really being hit hip and thigh, and that they don't have intelligence. There are 10 times more Russian deaths than have really taken place. The propaganda war is that Russia is really losing. Ukraine is just really doing well, gaining more strength day by day. They're dumping billions of dollars in Ukraine, and Ukraine is not doing well. Putin wants to be finished with that conflict. I'll tell you why. He's the president of a great, great nation that's in the Bible again, Ezekiel chapter 38 and 39. 39 is discussing Russia more than 38. Putin will have to, and is going to already, because of the conflict in Ukraine, the military industry has really running it at humming along down the road. It is manufacturing is at its peak. They have plenty of resources. They have energy, whatever they need to build drones and missiles and bullets and whatever. They're doing it because Vladimir doesn't realize God has chosen him, I believe, to lead the people of the north, the great kingdom of Meshech and other nations, to the Middle East. And there he is going to, with these other countries, their armies are going to be centered east of the Jordan River, toward the mountains of toward the flatlands of Syria, out in the desert, out in the open. All of these armies coming from Africa and from the north are going to be gathered. And the plan is they are going to overwhelm Israel and basically usurp everything important that is valuable in the nation of Israel. They're not coming to annihilate the Jewish people. The objective is to make the Jewish people slaves. not to annihilate them. You see, presently, the trade, the biggest trade is people. The nations of the world, their mindset is, yeah, drugs, yeah, you know, arms. But the mindset, the greatest value is people, arms and legs and eyes and brains and feet. This is what is valuable. So with Russia coming with all these other Arab, their Muslim terrorists, all the Muslim armies, Islamic armies are coming. The ones who will supply the least Islamic army personnel will be Russia. Turkey will supply hundreds of thousands. Iran, hundreds of thousands. Ethiopia, Libya, young men out of North Africa, some troops coming in from Saudi Arabia, maybe Yemen, mainly Islamic. Russia will bring the least percentage of Muslim soldiers. They will gather in Jordan, and I realize by reading what Ezekiel says, they're not gathered to annihilate the Jewish people. They're going to take what is valuable. That is why they're coming, to take things that are valuable. And it says that they're coming to take a prey. A prey means something living. I believe that the objective is to enslave the Jewish people, to use the Jewish intellectual power to help these nations to become more modern, and the Jewish people as slaves. And it will be at that point where I believe it will be Vladimir Putin. He doesn't have a choice. It says in those verses in Ezekiel 38 that God is going to put hooks. The God of Israel, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, will be put hooks in the jaw of this great nation. And there's a spirit that rules over that nation that doesn't want to come, because the spirit knows his end. That power in the air that's invisible, that fallen angel, is going to lose his. He's going to basically become powerless. He has no more power. He will die like a man. One thing about men, when men die, they lose power. They lose everything. But because of technology, when people die in America and worldwide now, when people die, they, in a sense, continue to live on through foundations, through, you know, the laws of their estate. But excluding that, this spirit over Russia and the spirit over Iran, the Prince of Persia, are going to be dismissed from duty. They're going to die like men. They're going to become powerless. And on the battlefield is where God is going to meet them. God is going to meet them, he says, that with calamity, with sulfur, with wind, with rain, with heavy hail, with everything unimaginable, and they're going to be destroyed there. And eventually, they're going to be allowed to be buried. There will be people, after the war is finished, that will walk through the region of that battle and cleanse that land of the bones. The bones will be buried according to the Jewish, the laws of Moses. Is it going to be Vladimir Putin? I believe so. There is talk that he is maybe has blood issues. They're not sure, but appears to be healthy to me. And it says that Russia does not want to come. Vladimir Putin does not want to bring troops south. He doesn't want to. He has enough going on. But it says that Russia has to be a protector of the nations that are going to come in Ezekiel 38 with Russia to the battle. The nations need to be protected. From who? From the United States. Is the United States in that prophecy? Yes. They need protection. Well, Turkey and Iran and maybe Azerbaijan and, you know, Armenia, a few other nations, when they consolidate, who needs to protect them? Well, Russia's got to be a protection from them, possibly economically, because if this country, if we see the troop buildup in Turkey and these nations in the area and the nations in the North Africa, sanctions are coming. This is Trump's main weapon, sanctions. Well, who is going to be able to help them financially? It would be Russia. And I believe China probably will assist. But China is not involved in this battle. This battle is 7 years and a few months before Armageddon. So Armageddon is in the future, 7 years plus 2, 3, 4 months in the future. China's not going to be involved in this battle. Many Christians already are saying that this will be the war of Armageddon. No, it is not. It is a war that occurs before a period of time that Christ refers to as a seven-year tribulation. This battle is concluded before that seven-year tribulation begins. I know I'm not getting to where does Trump fit in this scenario. I'll have to do that in the next program. But Vladimir Putin, Benjamin Netanyahu, Donald Trump, these men are great, great men. If you look at them from the perspective of the Bible and the time that we're in and what they have been, you might say, chosen to do, to accomplish. And Netanyahu and Vladimir Putin, they're going to meet in the Ezekiel 38 war. And Donald Trump, I'm not sure he will still be president of this great country. I do feel that Netanyahu, after the Psalm 83 conflict is finished, Netanyahu again may be, God may release him and allow him to stand down, step away. Trump, it's going to be a different story. I think Trump is going to be removed illegally from the position as president, and the Constitution of this country is going to be not abandoned, it is going to be scuttled. It will become powerless. They might like the principles, but no, it's not going to protect the criminals that are coming to rule this country. Vladimir Putin, I think he may still be alive to bring the troops south and to work with these other countries that must come at the same time. And he has to be there to protect these countries and their armies from the United States. Well, I have to conclude for this program. Podcasts on 13... I'm sorry, I have this in my mind, the radio station I used to be on. I hate that. Podcasts are archived on thispresenttruth.com. thispresenttruth.com. Contact me, Rick Rodriguez, P.O. Box 872, Longmont, Colorado, 80502. So, fear not. The Prince of Peace is still the Prince of Peace. Look to him, and he will give you the peace, and he will give you direction. God bless you.